This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing a journey of comprehensive supplications for the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we need to understand that the words that we're using, or the words that we're using to implore and call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهُوَ مِنْ كَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَهُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. It is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that use these du'as, these supplications, to call upon me. Because many times people pose these questions that tell us some words to implore and to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away our worries, take us out of poverty, give us a good life, good things in this dunya, a good family, good health, good inside al-akhirah, good parents, etc. All these wordings, all wordings that we've been carrying on doing on this journey of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And specifically, these wordings have been bestowed upon the best of creation, the prophets, that in this situation, the living situation, they carried out these supplications as if to teach us that if you fall into some form of similar situation that we've fallen into, then use these kalimat, use these words. فَتَلَقَّى آدُمْ مِنْ رَبِّي كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ التَّلَقِّي مِنْ اللَّهِ. Adam alayhi salam, he received some words of inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he made that mistake inside paradise. So Allah, right in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, mentions the first awwal qissa fil Quran is qissa to Adam alayhi salam, but closes the story there, shuts the story down, that he was given certain words of inspiration. The answer response doesn't come not just the following verse or the following page, it comes many ajza later. Inside Surah Al-A'raf, Allah then describes or mentions, what are these words of inspiration that I gave to Adam? Qala, both of them, Adam and Hawa alayhi salam. What we all use on a daily basis. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Allah, if you don't forgive us and pardon us, we've oppressed ourselves. You don't pardon and forgive us, we're going to be amongst the losing individuals. So these words of the prophets, which are obviously from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are divine, are inspiration for us to use these words. That's why whenever the prophets, they make these supplications, we should home into these supplications. Just like mentioning and speaking about the best of the prophets, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The beginning of Surah Al-Najm, the 53rd chapter of the Quran. He doesn't speak from his own desires. Whatever he speaks is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's this speech, is a speech with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, allamahu al-bayan. The best thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is al-bayan, is a nutq, is speech, the ability to implore and to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So use the best of words, the best of descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the most beautiful names and attributes. The core study of names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the core study is for what purpose? Is to implore and to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks generically inside the Quran, that in this supplication we've been speaking about, that we're all worried about, also speaks about other things that some of us are forgetting inside our lives, which is also the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. How many supplications did he make? Or how long did he remain making the same wording, the same supplications? We spoke about the ayah inside Surah An-Nisa. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. When he says to Abdullah al-Mas'ud, he says to him, read, recite the Qur'an. He said, أَقْرُوا عَلَيْكَ وَكَدْ أُنزِلَ عَلَيْكَ وَإِلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. Should I recite the Quran? The Quran has been sent upon you. He said, I want to hear it. Asma'u min ghayri. I want to hear from other than myself. I want to hear the Quran. And when he came to this verse, how will it be on the day you become as a witness standing over the whole of humanity? Hasbuk al-an, hasbuk. Sufficient, stop there. He says, so I looked at the blessed face of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, and he was weeping. He was weeping. Tears were shedding from his eyes. How will it be in the day of judgment? You stand as a witness over the whole of humanity. The end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Who is he praying for? That's what we need to home into. He's praying for this ummah, ummati, 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 my nation, my followers, my people. Those things we don't want to home in into those things. Supplications for your brethren. Supplications for this Muslim ummah. His feet, they swelled up. They cracked. They broke. The weight of him standing in prayer. The verse inside the Quran, read the tafsir, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. We're giving you clear manifest victory. And we've forgiven you your previous and your future, whatever decisions, or you want to translate it loosely as mistakes. مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ. Every single sin of yours has been forgiven. So Aisha, a mother, the wife of the Prophet, as I mentioned, why are you standing in prayer like this? When your sins have been forgiven, you've been given paradise, and your feet are swollen. Who is he praying for? Is he asking for paradise for himself? Is he asking for paradise for himself, or is he asking for my nation, my people, my ummah, my followers? And what did he say? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not become a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's what a Muslim is. What is gratitude? وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Show goodness to people like Allah has shown goodness to you. Goodness to this Muslim ummah. That's why today's supplication is speaking about this Muslim ummah. Whether the brethren who are living or the brethren who have gone by, that we supplicate for them. We ask Allah to overlook their mistakes and to pardon them and to forgive them. That's what a Muslim is. A Muslim isn't selfish. Muslim isn't just thinking about oneself. And then even if we use these words, people are astray or people misguided or people full of sins or they're doing wrong inside their lives, it doesn't really concern me. As long as I'm rescued, I'm saved, I'm going to paradise. That's not the way of the Anbiya. That's not the way of the prophets. That's not the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was always conscious, always worried about the subjects and the people around him. And as we find that inside this dua speaks about these sunnah that we don't focus inside our lives. You know, the external attire, the element of Muslim, rightfully so, we should be worried about that. But you know the core elements of a Muslim? Well, yuzakim, he purifies them. What does it mean? Have we ever studied what's known as amradul qulub? Sicknesses of the heart? Al-hiqd, al-ghil, al-hasad, al-shuh, al-bukh. Study those elements of Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, who classified as tabib al-qalb, the doctor of the heart, the works of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, in Rajab al-Hanbali. Those works, we don't want to home in onto them. They're taking away rancor, ill feeling, jealousy, excessive love, greed, pride, arrogance, covetous. Those are things that we don't want to home into, and that's what Islam is focusing upon. That the inner material of the individual needs to be purified. That's why the ulama say of tazkiyat al-qalb or al-lisan, huwa al-qalb al-natiq. Your tongue is your speaking heart. You can display yourself as much as a Muslim as you want. When you get frustrated, when you get angry, when things don't go in your manner, or you have a dispute with someone, or a misunderstanding with someone, then what we find inside a society? The tongue lashes out. The tongue curses, the tongue reviles, the tongue abuses, the tongue says these things. What is that a reflection of? As ulama of tazkiyah mentioned, that is in general a reflection of the state of the heart. That we haven't refined our hearts. We haven't intuned our hearts. We're not focusing on our hearts. We're focusing on the external attire, and that's all that our life becomes. That's why the Prophet somebody entered into Medina, even his this ayah in the Medinan surah, Medinan surahs mainly speak about ahkam, rules and regulations.
But inside Allah places this ayah to show the importance of removing certain traits and bad traits and conditions from our lives. The siyaq, the context of this dua. Because all this will help us. That's the journey of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes doesn't directly speak about something. Brings a whole context, brings a whole a prelude towards it. And those who understand the Quran understand what it's building towards. That sometimes entirely the Quran could be just speaking about the dunya and then straight away just takes you inside al-akhirah. Or speaking about just mundane affairs. Then it takes you to another dimension because it's all a build-up of the Quran, the language of the Quran. Wa uslub al-Quran. This is a verse of seeking forgiveness for ourselves and our brothers who preceded us. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَوْفُ الرَّحِيمِ. Inside Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th chapter, verse number 10. That the individuals that they say they make this supplication inside Surah Al-Hashr. Straight away, all of us, when Al-Hashr comes to our mind, it means the day of gathering, the day of judgment. This is which is a common meaning of this surah. But Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani carries the other meaning of Al-Hashr is Al-Jam, the getting together. So, straight after the Battle of Badr and Uhud that we find the fourth year of the Islamic calendar that we find. These individuals, they plotted and they planned to execute, to assassinate, to kill the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We went to meet them with his followers. They were planning to throw a boulder, a rock over him, to crush him. But revelation came. Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. Allah will protect you from the people. That's why a Muslim, when he's protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one can harm that person. When you're ajal, your time comes, it will come. It will be destined for you. But other than that, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So revelation is given to him that these people are about to do this action. He gets up and he moves away. They begin to discover that we've been discovered now. So he warns them and he tells them because you're treachery what you've done. And he told these people to leave. But what happened is that they're inside their fortresses. These 6 or 7 fortresses that they built and they'd sealed themselves inside these fortresses. Thinking that the Prophet cannot attack us. Cannot come then enter inside these fortresses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions inside the surah, مَا قَطَعْتُ مِنْ لِينَةٍ أَوْ تَرَكْتُمُهَا قَائِمَةً عَلَى أَصُولِهَا فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَلْيُخْزِيَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. These trees that you, لِينَةٍ, these shajara, nakhla, ulama begin to discuss what type of tree, date palm tree it is, but they're the thick of the forest of the trees was in front of their fortress. So the Muslims began to cut down the trees or they began to burn some of the trees down. They said, look, what are you doing, Ya Rasulullah? Oh Muhammad, what are you doing? You've been forbidden to harm people. Listen to the word. You're forbidden to harm people. Why are you harming us? Look at they trying to be clever with their words. Why are you harming us? What have you been doing? What did you plan to do from to kill us from within ourselves? The sixth element, the munafiqun, the hypocrites. To kill us from within ourselves, inside our own state, inside Medina. And even some of the ulama seerah, they mentioned, they didn't cut that many trees. Because Allah here mentions, قَائِمَةً عَلَىٰ أُصُولِهَا. Ulama vlogger, they mentioned that most of the trees were left. Everything about the Prophet was unique, was daqiq, was accurate. He wanted to send out a message to these people. That your betrayal of what you've done, there's no pact, there's no agreement with you. Because of your treacherous conduct that you carry out. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's main theme. And it builds up is the concept of brotherhood. Inside this surah, the brotherhood of the Muslims. وَلِلَّهِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Give somebody this money, this wealth. Belongs to the messenger, belongs to the poor people. The destitute. وَمْنِ السَّبِيلِ كَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ. So it doesn't remain amongst the rich amongst you. That's why Islamic principles here inside this ayah, what is it trying to highlight? Money rotates. Money is to be shared inside society. So the rich don't get rich and the poor don't get poorer. And then Allah then mentions, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the messenger tells you to take, take it. Whatever it tells you to stay away from, stay away from it. The second path of brotherhood is encouragement of the sunnah. Obedience to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's part of brotherhood, that you're encouraging another Muslim, that the path of success as we began with, is to try to attract ourselves towards the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That will give us success, there's no doubt about that. But likewise, there has to be an usloob. There's ways of encouraging people to come towards the path of Allah, to come to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So here inside this verse, it mentions clearly, whatever the messenger tells you to take it. Whatever he tells you to abstain from it. In a hadith inside Bukhari, as Abdullah Mas'ud, he mentions that a woman by the name of Yaqub, because he said to her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed those women who tattoo other women, or women who are tattooed upon themselves, or women who pluck their eyebrows, or women who place spaces inside their teeth. He said Allah has cursed them. So this woman, Yaqub, she said that, where is it in the book of Allah? I've read the Quran from cover to cover. I don't find this verse inside the Quran. وَحَقَّنْ مَا تَجِدُ هَذِي الْآيَةِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. And you don't find this verse inside the Quran. There's no verse that says Allah's cursed those women who pluck their eyebrows, who place spaces inside their teeth to beautify themselves. It's not there inside the Quran. But look, he's understanding the verse. He said, لَوْ قَرَأْتِ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Have you read this verse? وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the messenger tells you to take it. Whatever he tells you to stay away from it. Because the Prophet ﷺ is fi maqam al-tashri'. He's in a position of authority, legislation, commandment. That's why some 35 odd places inside the Quran. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Obey Allah, then obey the messenger. But one place inside the Quran, inside Surah An-Nisa, Allah turns it around. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. Ulama of Tafsir begin to discuss why. To show the rank and the honor and the dignity of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That to disobey him and to turn away from his commandments isn't something small or something trivial. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِكِ الرَّسُولُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever contends with the messenger, goes against his sunnah, goes against his teachings, and chooses another path of the companions, he'll be doomed. That person will be doomed who turns away from the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So the sunnah isn't something light, something trivial, especially those sunnah which are compulsory we have to do inside our lives. We may use the word linguistically, this is a sunnah, but certain sunnah, on a grading in fuqaha, it means something which is wajiba, something which is obligatory. And if it becomes something obligatory inside our lives, we should do that to show our ta'a lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. To show our obedience firstly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this being a commandment that's been bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الشَّرِ. Ibn Kathir mentions he orders everything good. And he tells us to stay with anything from which is evil or something which is harmful for us to stay away from that. And as we mentioned, not everything is a palatable Islam, a loving Islam, a pleasing Islam. Because at the end of this ayah, Allah mentions, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهِ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah mentions, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is severe in punishment. What is the isharah being given inside this verse? That if you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you disobey the messenger, you could be punished. You could be punished. Let's not speak about this dunya inside al-akhirah. In your disobedience of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So it's not something trivial, as some of us that we may think regarding disobeying the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Then it mentions the love of the muhajirun. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا. Allah first speaks about that muhajirin. The muhajirin who left Mecca, who traveled all the way to Medina, left their property, left everything, came penniless to Medina. For what purpose? Had affluent businesses, tradesmen, wealth, everything that they had. Why did they come there? Obedience to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. They came to this new region, this new environment, for the purpose of only obeying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why you find that al-muhajirun, his praise is given to them. Inside the Quran, inside the sunnah as well. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that those who came after them, or those who are with them, who helped them, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ حَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Those who are resident inside Medina, speaking about Al-Ansar, the helpers, they had no rancor, no feeling inside their heart to help these people. ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. Remember, some of the Islam we live is a textbook Islam. We're living in a modern world of textbook Islam. Go back to the seerah. Go back to why Al-Ansar were given this privilege. That's why it's in Hadith Bukhari, I find Ayatul Iman, Hubbul Ansar. Wa Ayatul Nifaq, Bughdul Ansar. A sign of Iman is love of Al-Ansar, love of the companions. And a sign of Nifaq, hypocrisy, is to despise or to look down upon the companions. But what concerns us here is Hajatan, a negative traits of brotherhood. Hajatul ulama mentioned is hasad, to have some form of jealousy towards your brother. Just as we began with, to remove the bad trait, shuh is greed. وَمَنْ يُوكَ شُحَ نَفْسِي, whoever takes away the greed from themselves is successful. Look at the context. Muhajirun are immigrants. They've been thrown out of their country, they left their country. They've entered into another country. And the people inside that country are not taking care of them. The bordering country is not taking care of them, not looking after them. But that's not what Al-Ansar done. Al-Ansar were at the forefront of helping those people, Muhajir, who came into their city to share their food, share their lives, share everything with these individuals. And as some of the ulama, Ibn Kathir speaks about, they find no rancor inside their heart. Amr ibn al-As, he mentions that once the Prophet has mentioned that this person going past is a person of Jannah. So I began to think, I need to find out why this person is a person of Jannah. So he pretended a healer. He pretended that I'm a traveler. I need some food. I'm homeless, whatever it may be. So he went and he stayed with this individual. He stayed for the first night. Ma fi shay gharib. He's not getting up at night, qiyamul layl, praying extra Quran, doing something extra. Tayyib. Qad yakun ta'banan. Maybe he's tired. Maybe he came back from a journey. The second night, nothing. The third night, nothing. So Amr ibn Nas, his frustration says, this is a real, I'm here. The reason why I came here to stay with you is to find out why did the Prophet say about you, you're a person of Jannah. Why did he say that about you? There's no extra prayers. There's no extra qiyam. He goes, I don't know what it is. But maybe I know that every single night when I go to sleep, I carry no rancor or ill feeling for another Muslim. I have no bad feelings towards another Muslim when I go to sleep. So maybe that could be the reason that this bushra has been given to me. Other Ibn Kathir also narrates that this ayah, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً, they spend even though they need the money themselves. They said it's regarding Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Ibn Kathir also mentioned speaking about Ikrimah وَأَصْحَابُ يَوْمُ الْيَرْمُوكِ, during the battle of Yarmouk. And just to refresh, as I mentioned, we read these as stories. We're not living this anymore. We don't live this anymore. It's textbook. Ikrimah narrates that when they're in a battle of Yarmouk, and narrated about them when they've been harmed. And water is brought to one of the companions. He says to him, go to my companion. Bleeding, thirsty, pain, distraught. Said, I don't want the water. Give it to my friend over there. Give it to my companion over there. Goes to the second companion. He says, I don't want it as well. Give it to the third companion over there. He's in more need than me. When a carrier of water goes to the third companion, he's shaheed. He's died. Returns back to the second companion. He's died. He's shaheed. Comes back to the first companion. He's died. He's shaheed. That's what Ibn Kathir writes in Sahih Tafsir. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. All of them are shaheed. Not even trinkets, droplets of water. Give it to the following individual. That's what you call companions. That's what you call brotherhood. These empty slogans at the moment. We're one ummah. We're brothers. We're united. We stand for the people. We stand for the cause. It's false. It's a false claim. Use a false claim. It's apparent in front of us. 100 odd days have gone by, still the same slogans. We stand with our people. We stand with them. We'll be there for them. bombarded every single day. Not a single masjid remains in Gaza. Not a single masjid remains in Gaza. That is what we call it, symbols of Islam. Placed it down to the ground. Look at the companions of the Prophet, a visitor comes, Ibn Kathir narrates, comes to the Prophet, and says, I'm hungry, I need some food. Who is this? This is the Prophet. He asks his wife, is there any food at home? They say, no. They're asking who? They're asking the messenger, the richest person on the face of this earth. The richest person has no food inside his house. He says to his companions, who will get up and take this person and look after this person? Who's going to look after this person? This person decides to take him home. Says to his wife, this is not our guest. This is the guest of the messenger. So we have to look after him. She says, we've got no food. We've got no food. We've only got the small amount of food that's boiling in the pot for the children. He says, put the children to sleep. Dim the lights. Carry on pretending to cook. And then when our guest comes, just present the food to him. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised these individuals in the morning about their action. No one knows what they've done. But Allah knows and makes mention of them that these are the individuals, they needed that, but they're spending their own wealth to help this individual who's just a traveler. This is the brotherhood that we should be revitalizing inside our society that many of us have forgotten. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the muhajirun, praises the Ansar, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak about the people who come after them. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَءُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. All of that just a build up to this one dua, this one supplication. Those who come after them, those who come after al-Muhajirun wal-Ansar. Speak about whom? Speak about the Muslims. Speak about this ummah that we began with. Speak about us. That they make that supplication. Allah, forgive us our sins and forgive our brethren who preceded us, who died before us, and place no ghil, no rancor, no ill feeling towards them. Thus you find that this is the way of following these individuals, the Muhajirun Ansar. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. What is ghil? Ghil, as we began with, is a sickness of the heart. Is al-hasad. To have jealousy, to al-bughd. Hatred towards whom? Not towards a non-Muslim. That's not the context here. Hatred and to dislike another Muslim. Which is a big problem, as we mentioned, inside our society. Why do we hate another Muslim for? Even Muslims, we mentioned, may have some mistakes, done something wrong inside their life. The default position isn't to hate the Muslim. It's to find ways of trying to better the Muslim. Bring him towards the rightness, the right path. That's why Allah's even speaking about paradise. Allah speaks about the removal of ghil. It's that one of the last things that be taken out of human beings. It's a natural trait, as they say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plucks that, takes that out. Just before going into paradise, you find, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِ مِنْ غِلٍ. We take out, snatch out from their hearts this ghil. Because that's when people ask this question in paradise, will a person feel jealous? Will a person feel like this? It's removed. You're not the human entity of this dunya anymore. Your refined identity, externally and internally, everything about you inside paradise is transformed back into the original state. So that ghil that you find is snatched away from the individual. Another place in the Quran, Allah mentioned, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِ مِنْ غِلٍ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. We remove this ghil from them and they'll be brethren reclining in couches inside paradise. But if we don't try to be brethren inside this dunya, how are we going to be brethren inside al-akhirah? We don't show the love and affection towards the Muslims around us inside this dunya. And that's why we find that these negative traits or characteristics that we need to develop inside our lives. Let us be crystal clear. The default position of any Muslim is he's going to paradise. That's the default position. You can come along and academically and theologically try to place something upon that person. But you're not God. You're not Allah. So you can make whatever claims that you want, that this person does X, Y, Z, or done X, Y, Z, or according to a textbook has done this. The final answer, the final destination lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can only display in some form of ilmi basis about this is a mistake or this is something which is dangerous, what this person said or what they've done. But a Muslim is a Muslim. Let us not go beyond the bounds and limitations, especially those individuals who died, as well as people speak ill and evil of them. People passed away. That even if you have to make some discussion about them, it's based upon, not upon your emotional feelings towards them. It's based upon technicality that this is a mistake that a person may have made during their life. Not to demonize them or to prove them in error that exists inside a society. And then what do we find at the end of the surah? The end of the surah is now reminding us about fear of Allah. If you don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we began, if you're loose with your tongue, you don't think you're going to be asked. That's why many of the young youth, that's why they're very loose with their tongue. You hear it day in and day out in the masjid. This person's like this, he's like that, he's going to be punished, he's going to be harmed, he doesn't deserve paradise, he's sinful, he's like this, he's like that. And the audacity of it sometimes, the audacity sometimes makes a person cringe. That you're poor performing wudu, getting ready for salah, and you're speaking about an imam who served the community for 30 years. For 30 years, day dot has been there for Salatul Fajr, and whilst performing wudu, you have the audacity to say, this person is a corrupt, is a bad imam. This is the state of our youth. This is the state of our youth. Tarbiyah, we're lacking inside our lives. For argument's sake, let's say if he has a mistake inside his life. Do you really think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out 30 years, ala aqal shay, 30 years of that person coming and leading the people for Salatul Fajr. For 30 years, do you really think that for a mistake that they have, maybe they make dua after in jama'ah, after salah that we don't agree with, they do that. Do you really think Allah for those 30 years is going to wipe out their good deeds? Do you really think that? Do you really try to apply the verse وَقَدِّمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنُوا هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا لَيْسَ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ أَوَّلًا. Those who do deeds are wiped out. It's for the non-Muslims. Don't try to apply the ayat of Allah upon Muslims and search for that. Search for that to apply that upon Muslims. And even at the moment, look at many of what's going viral. It's just going into speaking about those people. Why can't we address the topic at hand? Who are the aggressors? Who are the oppressors? Who are the ones harming people? Why are we busy picking about another Muslim? Whether his hat is this color or that color, whether he's doing this or he's doing that. It shows a lack of understanding of maqasid al-sharia, a lack of understanding intent of the Islamic law, a lack of understanding of brotherhood. The Prophet has entered into Medina to do what? To codify, to unify, to make the Muslims a powerful force. Small people think small things. Big people think big things. They think of ways of unifying people, bringing people together. That's what a Muslim is. So if you think you're intelligent and you're smart, you think ways of rallying Muslims together, putting them together to come back once again, to be just like the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And as we find, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wal tanzur nafsun ma qaddamat lighad. Fear Allah what you're going to come on that day and day of judgment. Allah says clearly inside the Quran, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Are we going to make mujrims like Muslims? That's what the Quran is saying. مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. How are you judging? That you're equating Muslims, that they're symbolic towards non-Muslims, or justifying the actions of non-Muslims. Then we find, after that we find, أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ. Are we going to make people who are criminals who spend facade upon the earth? Are we going to make them like those who are the believers in Allah? No one wants to speak about that. This symbol is making certain people shake. That as if this scarf is going to harm you in any manner. This symbolic gesture, that's all that we're doing, it's just a symbolic gesture. Then Allah concludes about the greatness of the Quran and concludes the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inside this end of this surah that we find. And just in conclusion, some of the fawaid, the surah began to speak about يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتُهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. Speaks about those people that they destroyed their homes with their own hands. This is what us Muslim Ummah are doing at the moment. We are destroying this Muslim Ummah with our own hands. We can't see what we're doing. We can't visualize. We're causing more harm and destruction upon our own selves and our own nation, our own people, and whatever disguise it may be. بَعْزُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ شَدِيدٌ تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. Don't ever think they're united. That's what the Quran says. Don't ever think they're united. تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا. You think that they're together. وَلَكِنْ قُلُوبُهُمْ what? شَتَّى. Their hearts are at variance. This Muslim Ummah will come back to unity. It will return. Everybody knows that. They know that. They've written studies about it. That the most powerful force, the most powerful force that will awaken is Al-Islam. It is Al-Islam. Either we be part of that journey or we live as a fringe individual that journey, whatever it may be, we need to awaken ourselves to be that journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah then concludes, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّمْ قَوْمُ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. These are people that don't understand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to be amongst those individuals who serve the cause of Islam, serve the cause of the Sunnah and love of the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and to take this textbook reading to be worried about this Muslim Ummah, as we mentioned, in all our efforts, in the food, the drink, the welfare, the care, even supplication, making dua. Because the Prophet is so continuous in doing it or making qunut. So that's the least that we should be doing. Joining the supplication, making that dua, rallying ourselves around to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.